Good morning, OTOers. Today's cutting edge study is going to focus on gradual weaning and specifically how it doesn't improve the performance for calves with low starter intakes at the beginning of that process. The big three takeaways from this study I want you guys to take away today is this study reinforces the common belief that we need to be sure to wean our limit fed or low milk ration calves based on starter intakes, not time. The authors also proved that in limit fed calves, gradual weaning did not increase starter intakes versus abrupt weaning. Overall, it only increased the feeding behavior, basically how long they play with the starter. Second big takeaway, in this study's average daily gains were significantly different between starter intake level calves. Those calves on low starter intake at day 35 had almost 6/10 less average daily gain overall than those who had high starter intakes at day 35 of age. We generally know that 1/10 of a pound of average daily gain equals 250 pounds of milk in the first lactation. So, should we be considering this as a factor in our inventory culling based decisions? Our third big takeaway today, OTRs, is that society places an ever-increasing value on the decreased suffering or perceived suffering by any animal. And this goes doubly for the neonate. In this study, observable hunger signs in abrupt weaned calves tended to trend towards greater vocalization than gradually weaned calves, even in the face of no physiologic stress parameter increases. Due to the improved public perception at weaning, I think gradual weaning may be something that has an advantage over abrupt weaning still, even without developmental improvements. So what's the ultimate message, OTRs? And you'll learn much more in today's episode as we dive deeper. But we as clinicians need to realize the double narrative that is playing out in our industry. First, we have producers feeding high milk rations. And secondly, we have producers feeding low milk rations in an attempt to save costs or because of tradition. For this second group, we need to concentrate on educating them about the importance of monitoring starter intakes as a trigger for weaning versus the days of age when we're going to start weaning, and how that can help set that calf up for a better weaning period and overall better average daily gains. So stay tuned, OTRs, as we dig deep into this article and give you great facts you can take back to your producers and facilitate change on their operations. So the real challenge is, how do veterinarians like us, who don't have the time, resources, or financial backing of a multi-million dollar company, who are faced with irregular work schedules, on calls, and emergencies, how can we facilitate our own personal and professional growth so we can continue to offer superior service to our clients while still remaining competitive in today's market? That is the challenge, and this podcast will provide you the roadmap to its solution. I'm your host, Dr. Eric, and welcome to Operators to Owners. Welcome back, OTRs. Today's article is titled, Gradual Weaning Does Not Improve Performance for Calves with Low Starter Intake at the Beginning of the Weaning Process. Now, this is a research study coming out of the Journal of Dairy Science, published by Bitta, Gallo, Silva, Paula, Pasink, and Mora. It came out of the University of Sao Paulo, Brazil, and the objective of this study was to evaluate the effects of two weaning protocols and two levels of concentrate intake on the performance and physiologic and behavioral variables related to stress in dairy calves. Before we begin, I wanted to say that today's study challenges the general convention that gradual weaning is easier on calves. It is important to note that this is actually a limit-fed study, with calves receiving 2 liters twice a day of a 2216 milk replacer. And this was based on the representative average feeding rate in the U.S. according to the USDA APHIS data. When we're considering the implications of this study, Please remember that this study is not the traditional high-volume gradual weaning study that we've seen many times before. Getting right into the study, some of the foundational background information begins talking about that AFIS data. The current dairy economy makes many producers begin to seek out ways to reduce feed costs. And milk replacer, being one of the most expensive feed inputs, is often the target for this reduction. For this reason, AFIS in the USDA in 2014 found that most producers are only feeding 4 to 5 liters of milk per day to calves. Now, Gelsing in 2016 established that starter intake during the wet period is inversely correlated with milk volume ingested, but recent research has suggested that this is actually a multifactorial problem. Wang in 2014 showed that disease can affect starter intake levels. Naive in 2018 showed that vigor and vitality affect intakes. And finally, Hill in 2013 suggested that particle size, feeding hay, and gradual weaning all affect starter intakes. As our understanding of the importance of starter intakes increased over the years, recommendations have been published at many different levels. Beginning in 1996, Quigley suggested a required intake of 1.55 to 1.75 pounds for 3 consecutive days before beginning weaning. Greenwood in 1997 suggested 1.5% of the animal's body weight being ingested in starter before weaning. And finally, Stanley in 2012 suggested 2.2 pounds per day of starter intake to achieve adequate weaning. The reasoning behind this was that calves with low starter intakes experienced increased stress, increased disease, and increased weight loss, as found by Miller, Cushion, and DeVries in 2015. For those looking to monitor the signs of these increased stress factors, they can be determined by vocalization, movement, and blood variables. The foundation for this study was actually in research done by Roth in 2009 and Bach in 2010 that showed that when starter intake is adequate, performance between abruptly weaned calves and gradually weaned calves had no major difference. And this was actually countered by Steele in 2017 and Klopp in 2019 that showed gradual weaning stimulated concentrate intake before weaning in calves on a high milk ration, which was critical in the maintenance of feed efficiency through improved rumen development during that weaned period. This thought was backed up by a very broad Sweeney study in 2010, which showed that gradual weaning is more effective in increasing calf starter intakes as compared to abrupt weaning. But this research showed that the increased starter intake was not enough to compensate for the decreased milk intake of the gradual weaning program, leaving the calf in a lower energy intake than an abrupt weaning program. Sweeney in this study also went on to prove that when weaning started at an early age, average daily gains suffered. But when calves were weaned later, at an older age, they had a smooth transition without decreases in energy intakes. They also showed that calves weaned abruptly did show better average daily gain during the milk period, but decreased performance after weaning. Sweeney went on to confirm that the success of the gradual weaning program did appear to be correlated with calf starter intake at the beginning of the weaning process, which would be assumed to be greater in calves that were older when the weaning process began. All of these findings, coupled with many recent studies involving high-volume milk rations, utilized gradual weaning, and that has shown that calves that were gradually weaned had lower total energy intakes or an overall energy negative versus abrupt weaning. Given these findings in high-volume milk calves, the author hypothesized that gradual weaning would have a dissimilar or no effect on stress or performance on calves on a limited milk ration, specifically on a ration with 4 liters per day being offered. And that's where we begin with this study. To prove this theory, Bitter selected 36 male Holstein calves and fed and cared for them in exactly the same manner till 35 days of age. The group was then split into calves consuming a high level of starter, or those consuming over 3/4 of a pound of starter, and those consuming less or equal to 3/4 of a pound of starter. These groups were then further divided into either abruptly weaning or a gradual weaning program, which were randomly assigned. This resulted in 4 groups: a high starter abrupt weaning group, a low starter abrupt weaning group, a high starter gradual weaning group, and a low starter gradual weaning group. Abrupt weaning was done at 56 days of age, removing milk completely at that day. Gradual weaning was done by reducing 1 liter per week, beginning at 35 days of age. This meant that at day 35, the calves went down to 3 liters per day, equally split. At day 42, they went down to 2 liters per day, equally split. And at day 54, they went down to 1 liter per day, equally split, with complete weaning occurring again on day 56. After weaning, calves were fed free choice hay and starter. During this entire research period, feed intake was recorded, average daily gain was tracked weekly, withers heights, heart girth, and hip height as well were tracked weekly. In addition to that, blood parameters were monitored weekly in terms of glucose, total protein, BHB, and cortisol. Finally, one last parameter was monitored, and that was stress via behavior. And this was done kind of in a very energy intensive manner. The animals were tracked for 15 hours straight at 2 weeks prior to weaning, 1 week prior to weaning, 2 days prior to weaning, the day of weaning, 2 days post weaning, and 1 week post weaning. And they were observed during this time for standing behaviors, head position, feeding behavior, oral behaviors, and vocalization. So again, a very thorough study looking into growth and performance parameters, stress parameters, and behavioral parameters. Important to note in the results section before we go to conclusions and thoughts is that the authors actually found no statistically significant interactions between the weaning method and starter intake levels. So we're going to discuss each of these as independent factors. Now there will be some interactions with ages, so keep that in mind when you hear me discussing it, but for the most part, it'll be a factor or a factor in age that will be the category we'll be talking about. Now the authors were able to conclude that for calves on restricted milk volume, the level of starter intake at weaning is the most important factor for performance, not the weaning method. And they suggested that this is because the weaning method was not effective in increasing solid feed intakes during the weaning period. They also concluded that a minimum starter concentrate level should be observed prior to successful gradual weaning processes. It's also important to note that they mentioned that gradual weaning had no effect on average daily gain, but did result in less calf vocalization on day 2 post-weaning, and which is a behavior indicative of stress. Before we get to the thoughts section, again, I want to remind you, this is a limit-fed study, 2 liters twice per day of a 22/16 milk replacer. It's following U.S. averages as reported, but it is not the high milk replacer ration. Again, a very, very important thing to keep in mind because much of the research that we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years has focused on these high volume milk replacer or whole milk rations. Many of us already know that the research shows that as we increase the milk ration, starter intake decreases. But the novelty of this study, again, lies on enforcing the common belief that we need to be sure to wean our limit-fed or low-milk ration calves based on starter intakes, not time. The authors were also able to prove that contrary to popular belief, especially in limit-fed calves, gradual weaning did not increase starter intakes versus abrupt weaning. The only parameter that it improved was feeding behavior. That means they basically spent more time playing with the starter because they did not actually eat more starter. This behavior, that playing with the feed, can give the farmer the illusion that more starter is being consumed during this gradual weaning period versus an abrupt weaning period. But in reality, these calves are actually more energy negative than if they'd been abruptly weaned. On a full milk ration at a limit rate, they still will have higher energy intakes per day on a complete milk ration and will consume more total energy from day 0 to 70 on an abrupt weaning program. And this confirms that Sweeney 2010 study we talked about that found that weaning at an older age prevented decreases in overall energy intakes, possibly due to maturation of the rumen, but for sure due to increased calories from milk versus the lower calories from the starter on a weaned ration. Of note is that this higher energy state did not contribute to an improved overall average daily gain over that wean period. It just was more energy taken in. The interaction between weaning choice and energy intake per day was best observed by a graph, and I'll include this graph in the OTO Facebook group, on how energy per day drops in gradually weaned calves versus the abruptly weaned calves over the transition period. And ultimately, because of the lack of any statistical significance in difference in starter intakes between the abrupt and gradually weaned calves, the gradually weaned calves were unable to match their abruptly weaned peers in overall energy intake. This energy negative status, as compared to their peers, suggests that these calves would have less risk of stress and health-related issues due to the higher plane of nutrition of the abruptly weaned period. Basically, they get more calories from a longer and higher volume wet calf period. However, the research found that no difference existed in any of the blood metabolites between abrupt and gradual groups, and only found one observable behavioral tendency suggesting stress, and that was increased vocalization at 2 days post-weaning in the animals that were abruptly weaned. All this suggests that there is little to no perceptible advantage to gradually weaning calves on a low-volume milk ration other than the economics of saving money on the replacer. Worth considering is the welfare implications of the observable stress behavior of increased vocalization. While the blood metabolite parameters for stress were not increased, that vocalization is observable, and it could cause welfare issues if seen by the general public when they didn't understand what was going on at that period in time. So there's clearly value in reducing that particular behavior in these weaned calves by using gradual weaning. And I think the other thing that we need to think about, and we'll talk much more in depth coming up here, is the value of where they're at on starter intake before this weaning period. Before the authors wrapped up their summary of this abrupt versus gradual weaning, they noted, quote unquote, "the most important point for calf weaning is the ability to maintain growth and other physiologic functions with energy from dry feed." And from a medical standpoint, I'd also argue that the ability to provide these calves extra calories over their weaned peers gives us more cushion in the event of health-related events when we're looking at abrupt weaning. It also gives us a little bit more ability to engage the metabolically demanding immune system. Before I would recommend an abrupt weaning over gradual weaning program, especially with the welfare implication that we talked about before, I'd like to see this study redone and see it track these growth and energy numbers beyond the weaning period and see how cows, or calves I should say, performed in that 70 plus days of life. If there's significant positive benefits there for the animals in the gradually weaned group, I'd probably make the recommendation to continue gradual weaning based on starter intakes, which again we'll discuss a little bit later. But if there isn't and these animals who are abruptly weaned catch up or pair up really nicely, then I think some argument can be made for having a little bit more of that gray area or a little bit more wiggle room by keeping them on milk a little bit longer and having a higher energy state in that later wet stage of development. We'll just have to see if somebody will continue this research and follow a little bit further out. Now that we've established the lack of really measurable difference between the weaning methodologies, I think it's important we revisit the topic of the starter intake levels, and this is where the gold nuggets are for this research, OTRs. Remember that these groups were divided initially into high and low starter groups, basically 3/4 pound and, or excuse me, greater than 3/4 pound and less than 3/4 pound or equal to 3/4 pound of starter intake at 35 days of age. Total energy intake was higher for those calves with higher starter intakes at 35 days of age. With calves in the high starter intake group having better average daily gains at weaning and at 70 days of age, the high starter intake calves also had superior structural growth. Finally, these calves also displayed higher blood glucose levels at weaning, higher BHB levels at weaning, but displayed no differences in blood cortisol, no differences in blood stress glycoproteins, or in total proteins from their lower starter intake peers. Now, interestingly, the highest BHB levels at weaning, indicative of rumen development, were observed in the gradually weaned high starter intake calves. But this effect was only statistically significant at weaning, not before and not after, suggesting that this may be the preferred method for calves with high day 35 starter intakes, while alternative methods may be needed for calves at lower starter intakes. Now, one method the authors proposed went back to that Roth study we talked about kind of as a foundational study at the beginning of this article. And this was research done in 2009, where there was a pattern step down for weaning that was tied to starter intake, not days of age. Now, what this study did is it took a 4-day average starter intake and dropped milk or increased milk dependent upon the amount of starter that was taken in. What they did is, as starter intake reached a certain threshold, these animals were dropped down from 6 liters per day at half liter increments until they got to approximately 1.5 pounds of starter intake. Then the author began the weaning process. And this method showed no average daily gain difference between normal weaned calves and the starter intake dependent calves, but did save about $21 per calf in replacer costs in the starter dependent group. And this could prove to be a happy medium for farmers looking to kind of band-aid poor starter intake calves while still accelerating good starter intake calves into that solid ration, saving money all around. It's important at this point to also pause and understand that average daily gains, which we all know tie heavily into first lactation milk, were significantly different between starter intake level calves. Calves on that lower starter intake at day 35 had almost 6/10 less average daily gain overall than those who had high day 35 starter intakes. And that effect grew even larger during the weaning period. This clearly gives those calves with that huge or high starter intake a huge advantage. It makes me wonder about the long-term implications for these calves. We all know that generally a 1/10 of a pound of average daily gain equates to 250 pounds of first lactational milk. So if we have this big of a discrepancy in average daily gain amongst starter intake levels, should we be taking into consideration this as a factor when we're culling for inventory-based reasons? I think it's worth a thought given this information we're seeing here. Ultimately, though, the author proved that gradual weaning is not useful when calves already have low starter intake at 35 days of age. These calves had lower than recommended starter intakes at the beginning of the weaning period, which resulted in even more significant energy and average daily gain losses. While many methods have been tried to improve starter intake, it appears to be a multifactorial problem. And this is related to liquid diet, but also the personality of the calf. Therefore, we're leaving out those slow, shy calves, leaving them behind and sacrificing them for the bold, explorative calves and their success. And we may need to account for these differences by doing some method of that Roth study. Finally, today, society places an ever-increasing value on decreasing suffering or perceived suffering by any animal. And this goes doubly for neonates. By forcing animals that are not ready to wean to do just that, we will observe greater hunger signs, as seen by Vessler in 2013. And even though the animals are not losing weight, These signs can be observed across all of the groups, especially on day two of this study, with abrupt weaning calves trending towards greater vocalization than the gradually weaned calves. Again, at this point, I think it's important to reiterate that although vocalization increased, these calves showed no increases in physiologic stress parameters from the blood, such as cortisol or acid-soluble glycoproteins. This suggests that perhaps the calf's body is not under as much stress as its mind is due to hunger. Considering the improved behavioral responses, gradual weaning may be better from a calf standpoint, but will not improve solid feed intakes if the calf already has low starter intakes. So we as clinicians need to realize the double narrative that is playing out in our industry. First, we have producers feeding high milk rations who will probably need some sort of gradual weaning program to facilitate proper rumen development before complete weaning. And secondly, we have producers who are feeding low milk rations in an attempt to save costs or because of tradition. These producers often have earlier weaning times as well, which double the potential effects of a low energy ration. And for this second group, we need to concentrate on educating them about the importance of starter intake levels as a trigger for weaning versus the age of the calf and how it can play into the long-term success of that calf, especially during the weaning period. It appears that the long-term assumption of gradual weaning as a band-aid for bridging calves from a low-volume wet calf diet to a solid diet may have been overestimated as a useful tool. While it has its place for improving animal welfare during the weaning period, we need to reinforce the importance of proper management and starter intake monitoring as keys to improving energy and growth rates during the wet calf and weaning period. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know I did, and I'm really looking forward to applying these results and these principles to my clients, and I've already have a couple farms in mind for discussions based around this research study, and hopefully you guys can think of some that you can apply to as well. Until next time, OTRs, carry on.
If you like this content and want more, you can stop by the Operators Owners website at otovets.com. There you can sign up for our community at otovets.com/Facebook. You can also consume some of our original content at the blog at otovets.com/blog. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time, OTRs.